Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Out to Lunch is about local New Orleans business. And over the past few years of making this show, we've come to learn there's more to New Orleans business than business. We pretty much all agree that to perform at our best, at some point during the week, we have to turn off the phone and other devices that keep us constantly connected to work and do something else with both our mind and body. TJ Stranova is the clinical assistant professor in the Department of Global Health Management and Policy at the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine at Tulane University. But that's not what he's here to talk about. When TJ is not at work curing tropical diseases, he's president of the Italian-American Bocce Club. Bocce is an Italian game related to the French game pétanque and British lawn bowling. You play it by tossing softball-sized balls down a court and trying to get them to land within close proximity of a target ball. TJ, welcome out to lunch.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Francis Palumbo graduated from Drexel University in 2013, and he joined the U.S. Navy. Not only did Francis leave college with an academic education, but he left with an abiding affection for the game of rugby. Rugby, if you're not familiar with it, is a British precursor to football. It's played by a team of 15 guys who all remain on the field for the entire 80 minutes it takes to play a game. Unlike football, none of the players wear helmets or any protective clothing, making rugby even more brutal of a contact sport than football. If that sounds like the kind of sport you'd like to play here in New Orleans, you're in luck. You can join the Crescent City Blues Rugby Football Club. It's been around since 2014. Francis Palumbo is not just a Crescent City Blues player, he's a member of the board. Francis, welcome out to lunch.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
TJ, Francis, both of you are interesting guys with interesting careers. If either of you had written to me and said I'd like to be a guest on Out to Lunch and told me that you were respectively a clinical professor of tropical medicine or a seaman in the United States Navy, I would have said, sure, you'd be a great guest. But neither of you did that. Both of you, or your organization, suggested you come on the show to talk about bocce and rugby. So let's start with the most basic question. Why? Why do you guys feel so passionately enthusiastic about these niche imported ball games that you want to get on the radio and tell the world about them? TJ, let's start with you. What is it about bocce that makes you such an evangelist for it?
Well, a couple of things, Peter. I guess, first of all, I disagree about the niche characterization.
Oh, okay.
Bocce is actually, it depends on who you talk to, is either the second most played or third most played sport in the whole entire world. So
in the U.S. maybe?
Maybe in the U.S., but we're gaining popularity here.
Wow. So, no, it's a relatively new sport. Is that right, TJ?
It is not. It's actually the oldest sport known to man, as a matter of fact, Peter. There's actually an Egyptian tombs dating back to 5200 B.C. There's been frescoes found of a game that is very similar to bocce, and it has been brought all around the world, first by the Egyptians, of course, then the Greeks, and then the Romans picked it up, and when they started to expand their empire. They had the legionnaires actually brought bocce balls and sets with them, and really created a worldwide game. So,
and I remember in the 1600s, the Catholic Church banned it for gaming or betting, right?
Yes,
I remember
many popular things. Once they become too popular, people will try to control them. And yes, the Catholic Church did curb bocce by claiming that it was gambling. Other leaders, other countries have tried to stop people from playing bocce because it has taken away from either business or warfare preparation. In the Middle Ages, it took away from archery and practice.
If you lived in New Orleans and you weren't really into warfare anywhere, where would you play bocce?
You play at the Italian-American Bocce Club, Peter. So we have this wonderful facility out in Metairie now. We used to be downtown mid-city back in the 90s, but we have an indoor facility with three full-size courts. We've got a kitchen, a bar, a banquet space that can fit over 100 people. So it's a really neat facility that we have out there. So we encourage people to come out and learn and enjoy the game. So,
Francis, let me ask you, who plays rugby? I know I have students at Tulane that play, and they're like former high school football players. Is that the demographic?
You definitely see a lot of ex-high school and youth football players coming into the sport, but I mean it's played by a wide variety of athletes. The game of rugby takes a lot of skills from a lot of sports. I know a lot of basketball players, there's a lot of soccer players, a lot of hockey players. The sport that I've seen produce the best rugby athletes, though, however, is wrestling. They usually make the best tacklers, and they're really not afraid to go up to guys much bigger than them, knowing how to use their momentum to take guys down on the field.
You know, when I think of rugby, I think of, I think of drinking, pubs, and camaraderie. You know, it seems like rugby players are very close to each other.
Yes, the camaraderie of the sport is one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about it. I've never, I've played a lot of sports growing up and throughout my life, and I found rugby my freshman year of college, and I'd only wish I'd found it sooner. The camaraderie that's seen in the sport is just incredible. It really breeds a culture of inclusion across the board. You know, it's not just men playing; it's very heavily played by women, especially here in New Orleans. The Tulane women actually won the D2 national championship last year. No, it's not co-ed. At the youth level, it's co-ed. It's a touch game, no contact. But as you get older and progress, it's, it's not co-ed. It's men and women.
Where is it played?
So in New Orleans, we have two men's clubs. There's the New Orleans Rugby Football Club and then the Crescent City Blues Rugby Football Club. The Blues, they play in the D3 level in the United States. We're a team welcome to any skill level. And, whoever you are, you can come out and get to know the game of rugby and play. The New Orleans Rugby Football Club, they tend to play in the D1 or D2 level in the United States. And, anybody's welcome to come out to their practices and, get it going. And then there's also the Lagniappe women's team that's open to any woman in New Orleans.
And do you guys just play each other?
No. So we actually just finished the Robert Merkel Cup, which was the first annual Robert Merkel Cup here in New Orleans. It's a local cup, but we have two teams playing in it in New Orleans, but we also have a team from Mobile, Alabama, and Biloxi, Mississippi competed in it. So that was for the fall. The spring season, which is more a competitive season, we play more around the region, more northern Alabama, teams from Texas, Florida, and around the area.
TJ, you've got a big advantage because, for all I know, bocce is the only sport you can play with a drink in your hand, which seems perfect for this city.
Absolutely true. You can definitely play with whether it's wine or beer or a cocktail. You can certainly do that and play bocce, and whether it's outside or inside. It's perfect for New Orleans.
I've been out to your facility. It seems like older folks. How do you get the youth to understand bocce?
That's something that we've been struggling with, to be honest with you. When I first became involved with the bocce club, it was very insular. It was mostly men, Italian, Sicilian men, older men. After the storm, and especially the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years, our membership started to kind of wane very dramatically, and and we didn't really market ourselves. So since I took over as president about 2 years ago, we started with social media. So we have a website, nolabocce.com. We have a Facebook site. We try to promote ourselves as much as possible, because we really are, in addition to promoting the sport of bocce, we are a business. We have a facility to run. We have to
revenues, costs,
and trying to keep that up. And also, I think we're just starting to reach out, and I think we're starting to draw new younger individuals, because as you've probably seen being teaching at Tulane, I think that we went through this this phase where everyone was younger people were not connecting face to face. Social media was new, and people tended to lose that human connection. I think that pendulum is swinging back, where younger people are more interested in actually going out and meeting people in person. And a bocce club is a perfect sport, perfect place to go.
It's a perfect date.
It is, yeah.
It is, because you're on a team. It's just the two of you.
Yep. Yeah.
You can kind of figure out if this is going to work or
right.
not.
Right. You know, really. Yeah. And the Italian Bocce Club, it's a very romantic place. You know, we've got a lot of, like, Italian, murals.
That's right. The murals, the balconies.
So how could you not follow
the
Bocce Club?
Oh, I don't know why every single person is not actually at the Bocce Club. Yeah.
By the way, I know a couple teammates of mine that would argue they could play with a drink in their hand the entire time.
Really? Really? That might be the problem. So I'll come up with two words. Polino. What Polino means?
It means it's the small ball in bocce. So it's the goal that the teams are trying to get towards. So you're taking your large ball called the bocce, and you're trying to get your bocce balls closer to the Polino.
That's it. And
very simple game.
And Francis, have you ever been a hooker?
I have not had the opportunity to play hooker yet.
And what is it? I just made that up because somebody told me that.
So hooker is the position in rugby that wears the number 2 jersey, and they are the basically centerpiece in a scrum, which is the 8 forwards on both teams coming together to fight for possession of the ball. The hooker's job is to sit on top of the props, who are tend to be the bigger guys on your team, and he will then, once the ball is inserted into the center of the scrum, try to hook the ball back with his foot to the back of your scrum so we can gain the possession of the ball.
Wow, so there really is something going on there. That's to the outside viewer, it just looks like a mess, but there's really something going. That's great. You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricciuti. My guests are TJ Stranova from the Italian-American Bocce Club and Frank Palumbo from Crescent City Blues Rugby Football. Francis, the NFL is so worried about concussions and things. Do you just tend not to get?
I myself have never had a concussion, and
you're pretty sharp, so I knew that.
like I was describing before, the game is governed by a rule of laws, and that's going into contact, you have to do certain things. Tacklers can only tackle from high up on the chest down to basically around the thighs. You have to wrap up and place right to the ground. There's no leading in with your head or your shoulders. There's no spear tackles, none of that. Also, being without a helmet and pads on, you tend to be. You tend to go into hits safer anyway, because you don't want to, break yourself going to do a tackle, let alone the guy you're trying to tackle. Also, for the ball carrier, knowing that they don't have protection on with the padding and everything, they go into hits safer, and, you really just don't see as many concussions as you might in other sports.
I just think this is such an incredible mismatch, because your sport needs someone in healthcare, so you could use TJ, and you probably don't have to resuscitate many people in bocce at all.
Well, not with the older men. Well, with the younger members, hopefully not.
Yes, so, Did you ever talk to people that run these clubs in other cities and ask them how they're marketing and getting the word out? Is there any?
Yeah, there's a pretty robust network of bocce clubs throughout the United States. New Orleans used to hold many regional and national tournaments. We actually hosted back in 1982, many years ago, the U.S. Championships when we were. So there are a lot of clubs. We're trying to reconnect with them. Bring them in for tournaments, trying to get them to promote our club as well.
TJ, isn't I don't know what the number is, but New Orleans is one of the biggest Italian communities in the country, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just have to look around the French Quarter, which is still has its Italian heritage. Walk drive around Metairie, Kenner to see all the Italians, restaurants, Italian families.
Most Italians in New Orleans are Sicilian. Is that a fair statement?
Most of them are from Sicily. Whereas if you were kind of New Yorkers and New Englanders are more of near the actual boot of Italy.
Look at right here, the three of us. We got a heck of a lot of vowels in our names.
Yeah,
As for rugby, USA Rugby puts on several calls every month. Yesterday I was on the phone for the monthly YDO call, the Youth Development Officer call. And so the state-based rugby organizations, or SRO, they all have a youth section. And yesterday we had, I think, about 20 or 30 people on the call going over what's working in their city. We have a different topic each month where we're all working together for lessons learned and how we're best promoting the sport moving forward. As the sport's moving forward, it's growing across. It's been growing across colleges for a long time, and most major colleges have a pretty good team. There's major tournaments every year in Philadelphia. There's the College Rugby Championships, which is a sevens tournament held every summer. But as we're moving forward, even in New Orleans, the high school sides are they have a huge presence. Some of the major high schools in New Orleans. I think we have about 10 high school teams in the region that are all competing with each other. And you know, and moving on to the upper echelon teams in the United States playing for the, you know, U.S. travel sides and everything, New Orleans has had a lot of players going that route in the past couple months, let alone years.
But it makes sense what you're doing because, for instance, when I was very young, lacrosse was a very kind of esoteric sport, and now it's taken over. So you're kind of on that plane.
Yeah, a lot of people like to tout rugby right now is like what soccer was back in the, you know, mid to late 90s in terms of its growth right now. And, you know, it is really growing quickly. And our next, you know, major plug, which is what I'm happy to be doing, is, you know, getting across to the youth, just showing them that it is a sport and, you know, introducing them to, you know, a sport that's played across the world. It's
They can't drink when they're very young. It's a big part of the sport.
We have water and Gatorade.
Okay,
too,
all right. Yeah. And TJ, let me ask you something. Where do you get bocce balls?
Well, you can.
Do you go to Italy to pick them up, or what do you do?
I actually have a nice set of bocce balls okay. that I invested in. So you can go from high-end Cadillac Perfettas that are made in Italy.
Whoa.
Going down to Academy Sports and getting a nice set for $30 you can play in your lawn. So, and of course, if you come to Bocce Club, we have tons of bocce balls there. You don't have to bring anything. So
I wanted to ask you both about your business models, revenue-wise, because TJ, you can play as you go. I mean, just come in one night, and I think you have an open bocce night and pay a few dollars to go in. And then you have others that are members?
Yeah, so we have memberships that we have a core number of people who join as members, about $150 a year, that gets you discounts for our leagues, which we also use to raise funds. We have our open nights, as you mentioned, yeah. where it's usually charged about $5 a night for people to come and learn the game. And then we also rent out our facility. We have this really nice facility that we rent for about about $350 to $400, so people come in
for special events. Yeah.
Yeah, special events, Christmas
parties.
That's a great
idea.
Yeah, it's a birthday party, so it's all on our website, nolabocce.com. So that's how we try to raise funds. We also have we're trying to fix some of our capital, our facilities. So we have a GoFundMe page. You know, if there's any Italians out there who feel like they want to help out, a cultural organization that really needs it, we have a GoFundMe page. So we look for various ways to raise funds and to earn.
I thought it was so much fun. My only problem was, I'm colorblind, and they have the balls. That's how the whole thing's played, right? You got like red
yes,
ball.
I didn't realize you're.
Yes, yes, they.
Well, actually, now it makes sense after watching you play.
Yes, so right. I thought it was doing so well. And Francis, what is the business side of rugby like? Do people pay an annual membership to play in this league?
Yes, as for the Crescent City Blues, we have annual dues, member dues. For new players, it's a little less expensive than for reoccurring players. But that's basically how the club is funded. If you go down to the lower models, like the youth, we approach the school to talk about, what their current model is, whether they charge parents for after-school programs, or whether we just charge the parents directly. And, for youth, it's obviously much less than it would be for a adult men or woman player. But
you know what it seemed like to me is that you've got this interesting product that almost the toughest sale is that first time out. Is that kind of true?
Yeah, absolutely, especially for rugby, because parents, when they think of rugby, they don't exactly want their little girl or boy going out there to play, but
we've disproved that.
I mean, I think we really have in New Orleans. The game up until you're age 13 is played by touch rules, and it's a really fast, fluid sport, very similar to soccer, just with the ball in your hands rather than the foot. And it's a really fun sport that kids, from what I've seen, coaching several youth teams here in the city, they fall in love with.
And so if you get that set of parents and that kid out once, they kind of get the bug.
I mean, not only is it the kid getting the bug, from what I've seen, the parents get the bug too. And, we've had several parents come out to our adult practices. They've come to the summer touch leagues. They want to get involved with it now that their kid is getting involved with it. And that's been my favorite thing to see, the whole family getting involved with the sport that they, maybe not just found, but are now just getting involved with.
And TJ, you must have the same kind of situation, getting that person to come out once.
Yeah, right. I think that when people, if they've heard of bocce, they sometimes think, oh, it's an old person's game, yeah. And
I don't want the kid
exciting.
Drinking wine. I got things like that. There.
Right, but once we get somebody to bocce club, you have to interact with people. You get to meet people from 14 years old to 84 years old, yeah. And that's what we literally
have
in our
range
out
there.
Yes, actually, we have a lady who's 84 who's in our leagues, and we have a 14 13-year-old kid who plays with us. So, but getting them out there, it's actually playing, it's great camaraderie. As you said, you can certainly have a beer while you're playing, yeah. And it's a really fun game. And there's a lot of strategy to it. So especially if you're playing on a court like we do here, in the bocce club. If you play on the grass, it's more like horseshoes. But you're actually on a court. You're setting up shots. You're playing some strategy. It's just fun. It's just an easy way to relax. I like to after a hard day at work or grading papers, just going out to the club and just rolling some ball. I mean, it's just relaxing, fun, we have people for all of all ages coming.
So. You know what you got going for you is I was hearing a professor talk about what are the tendencies for people that live a very long time, and it was exercise and good food and things like that. But the real key was they do something on a regular basis with a group of people, and you're both right in that camp. So that would be great. So a bunch of 100-year-old bocce and rugby players. That's going to be great.
I think we bocce's a little
safer. You might win that one, but
I play with a guy regularly. He's 55.
We all agree these days that being able to take time away from work not only increases our ability to perform at work, it maintains good mental and physical health. So it's good to learn about strategies for taking a break and hearing the business side of it as well. Thank you both for enlightening us today on those special diversions, rugby and bocce. Thank you for taking the time to join me today on Out to Lunch.
Thank you, Peter.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been TJ Stranova. He's the president of the New Orleans Bocce Club. And Francis Palumbo, board member of the Crescent City Blues Rugby Football Club. You can find out more about TJ's Bocce Club and Francis's Rugby Club by following the links in our websites, itsneworleans.com and wwno.org. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday, with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our researcher is Matthew Ellefson. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. Mitch's music is available wherever great jazz is sold, streamed, or stolen, and at mitchellforeman.com. You can get the show as a podcast, you can listen to past shows, and you can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we look like, and these are some fine athletes we've put together here, you can find photos of the show on our website and Facebook page. The photos were taken today by Allison Moon. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Commander's Palace for more business, New Orleans style, on Out to Lunch.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp.